From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Lindsay Brolini with the latest. Dozens of people crowded into a shelter near the Juno Douglas Bridge at a candlelight vigil for a missing Juno man, Doug Farnsworth. Dozens more watched live streams and left hundreds of comments from afar. Despite the darkness, rain, and biting wind, they spent more than an hour talking about their memories of loving and being loved by the man who was last seen more than a month ago walking on a trail near downtown. KTOO's Rasha McChesney has this story.
No one said it explicitly, but the knowing laughter and the memories people shared with his grandmother on Wednesday evening made it clear that Doug Farnsworth knew how to have a good time.
I had a lot of crazy times with your grandson. I won't say what I did with him, you know, with our friends, but I really appreciate you sharing him with us.
Jamie Donahue says it was deeper than just good times, though.
You know, I didn't have, like, this picture-perfect upbringing, and I was always running from my home, and his home was always open to me, and he had this kind spirit that I just clung to.
Donahue says the process of physically searching for his body has been really emotional for her. She wiped away tears several times as she asked people at the vigil to remember to reach out to each other, to push past discomfort and social norms and connect with others.
I really encourage people to judge less and feel more and be there for those they love.
She says she didn't always do that for Doug when he reached out to her, even though they've been friends since middle school.
I hope that this makes a difference in a way, because Doug always made a difference. He always made a difference. He always made me laugh. He always made me feel loved. He always made me feel special. Ever since I was a kid, he made me feel special.
Farnsworth is a 32-year-old Juno man whose family reported him missing on September 29th. His older sister, Kirsten Farnsworth, says she and other family members believe he is dead. They're offering a $5,000 reward for anyone who helps them find his body. Kirsten Farnsworth lives in Arizona and flew up to Juneau to look for him. She has since had to go home, but she has been very active on social media, organizing search efforts and checking in with police and Alaska State Troopers with whatever information she can find. Even though she's thousands of miles away, she organized the candlelight vigil for her brother. She says she doesn't want people to forget that he's still missing. Then she lit a candle of her own and watched from afar, commenting online as each person spoke about him. About 50 people showed up to the vigil, most huddled out of the rain under a shelter at Overstreet Park. Barbara Charles, Farnsworth's grandmother, thanked everyone for coming out and continuing to search for her grandson. She says she misses him running into her home, wrapping his arms around her, and telling her that she's the most beautiful woman in the world. Juno family members carried a large wooden cross and photos to put in the center of the group. They tried to light candles, but the wind didn't cooperate. Someone else passed around glow sticks for people to hold. There were a lot of hugs and inside jokes. Davina Drones ran a live stream from her phone, and she also read messages to the crowd from people who couldn't be there in person.
This one is for you, Doug. You will always be... I have to practice this one. D-O-U-G, fresh, fresh. D-O-U-G, fresh. D-O-U-G, fresh, fresh. D-O-U-G. Fresh. I love you, Dougie Fresh. I pray that this light helps everyone find where you are. Sincerely, Howard.
It's tricky to piece together exactly where Doug Farnsworth went the night he vanished. But Kirsten Farnsworth has footage of a truck he was driving on Basin Road at around 4:30 a.m. Then someone else sent her a screenshot of him walking down the nearby Flume Trail at nearly 7 a.m. She asks that anyone who lives in that area check their game cameras and surveillance videos from September 29th to try and spot him. Volunteers are trying to organize a group search of the Basin Road area in a Facebook group called Help Find Doug. The Farnsworths are Tlingit, and they have a lot of extended family in town. As the vigil wound down, one woman stepped forward to tell the crowd that there is no goodbye in the language, only the parting phrase, "I will see you again."
So Tuye requests a team tattoo. Until we meet again, that's how deep that word and phrase is.
And she helped end the night with the Lord's Prayer.
I'm afraid I might not know all the words. Do my best if you guys pick it up where I forget.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come.
In Juno, I'm Rasha McChesney.
Scientists in Homer and Seward have spent the last several decades tracking a population of mammal-eating killer whales called the Chugach transients in the Gulf of Alaska. They're still tracking them as they age and as the pod approaches extinction. KDLL Sabine Pooks has more.
There used to be 22 whales in that pod, but the year after they swam through the Exxon Valdez oil spill, 9 members died, says Dan Olson, a field biologist with the North Gulf Oceanic Society. Other whales went missing.
And now there are 7 of them remaining.
This summer, researchers were waiting for a glimpse of the 7th transient, a 46-year-old lone male.
It wasn't until late in the season that one of the local tour captains here in Seward sent us a photograph, and we were able to confirm that this male was still alive. He's 46 years old now, so we may not have him much longer. Males often live 45 to 50 years old, and so we, every year that goes by, we're still crossing our fingers that he's still alive.
The North Gulf Oceanic Society identifies the transients photographically. It also tracks them acoustically, since pods have distinct calls. Olson recorded that lone male's call in 2019. He says the distinct call is one he's hearing less and less as the population of whales dwindles. The Chugach transients have not had a calf since the oil spill, over 30 years ago. Olson says scientists aren't exactly sure why. Other populations of killer whales are doing well, but the two pods that swam through the spill are not.
It's difficult to know why if the oil spill reduced their prey abundance such that they weren't able to have enough nutrition to continue to have offspring, or if the contaminants directly affected their reproductive systems. But regardless, we are seeing a population that is going extinct.
He says the population is genetically distinct, so if they lose that population, they'll lose a source of biological diversity. Olson says it's important to keep tracking the whales because it helps scientists track the entire ecosystem.
Killer whales are an apex predator and often are indicators of the health of the entire ecosystem, and changes in their population, changes in their body condition, their body health, can help alert us to issues that we're seeing in the ecosystems.
The North Gulf Oceanic Society has been around since the 80s and is based in Homer. For years, it's relied on funding from the Exxon Valdez Oil Spill Trustee Council, the group tasked with spending the civil settlement from the Exxon Valdez oil spill. This year, Olson says, the council decided it will not be funding the group's research going forward. In Kenai, I'm Sabine Pooks.
Democrats in Congress continue to debate what should be in President Biden's social infrastructure bill, but a version that emerged today includes a paragraph that would close the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge to oil drilling and cancel existing leases. The paragraph would repeal the ANWR section of the 2017 budget bill. That section, authored by Senator Lisa Murkowski, requires 2 oil lease sales in the Arctic Refuge by the end of 2024. The repeal paragraph is in a 1,700-page bill debated tonight in the House Rules Committee. The bill is likely to change and could be replaced entirely. If the House passes it, the bill would go to the Senate, where all the Democrats would have to approve it. The drilling repeal might not go over well with Senator Joe Manchin. The West Virginia Democrat has previously voted in favor of opening the Arctic Refuge to drilling. In January, the Trump administration held the first lease sale in the refuge. 7 of the 9 tracts went to the state-owned Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority. If the repeal goes through, the leases would be canceled immediately with payments returned to the organization and the 2 companies that won leases. Yesterday, a Bethel grand jury indicted a 6th grade teacher from Akiachuk on 8 felony counts of sexual abuse and assault of a minor. The alleged abuse of a student began occurring in Akiachuk over the summer, according to an affidavit from the state troopers. Among the charges filed against John Marks Hammond are 2 counts of sexual abuse of a minor in the first degree, 1 count of sexual assault in the first degree, 4 counts of sexual abuse of a minor in the second degree, 2 counts of sexual assault in the second degree, and 1 count of enticement of a minor. And in Juneau tonight, it will be cloudy with a low around 34 degrees, 60% chance of rain, south wind around 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, it will be cloudy with a 70% chance of rain. That's it from the KTOO Newsroom. I'm Lindsay Brolini.